Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs 20, verse 20. Proverbs 20, 20. Solomon wrote these words, "Whoso curseth his father or mother, his lamp or his candle shall be put out in obscure darkness." That verse of scripture that the Spirit of God moved upon Solomon to write was actually set forth in the law. Exodus 21, verse 17. "And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Now, from that passage of scripture, we behold God's demand for respect and obedience to parents, those that are in authority over the children. As long as they're alive, after they're gone, we remember them with respect. Those who were the means, God's means, of bringing us into this world, and who, by divine authority, were the ones that taught us, were the ordained preservers of us in our youth. Now, to curse father or mother, what does that mean? It doesn't mean just by filthy, you know, talking to them, which obviously would be included, but to curse father or mother, it means to show disrespect, to make light of, to bring into contempt, or to lightly esteem, is, according to God's word, worthy of being put to death. Now, you know, we just don't, you know, today we don't think like that. You know, we just say, well, you know, it's just, you know, it's my mom or my dad. What, you know, what are they, you know? No. Almighty God has put such demand upon respect of persons. Whatever man has to say today, this is the word of God. Now, in light of that passage of scripture, I want us to consider that verse of scripture in a passage of scripture over in Matthew chapter 15. You just turn over there because that's where we're going to be. Matthew 15. That what I just gave us as the meaning, God's demand for respect of our parents, is just, it's God's word. That's the word of God. They are to be taken care of in their age, and to be respected, to be spoken well of and well to, because God Almighty says we are. That's the way it is. Now, in Matthew chapter 15, and I'm going to be looking at the actually first nine verses here for just a few moments, but in Matthew 15, our Lord quoted that verse of Scripture. And what I wanted to do this morning, by preaching out of Proverbs. Proverbs quotes Exodus 31. And what I want to do is I want to take what the Lord said concerning that verse of Scripture. And that's where I'm going to stay this morning. The Lord used that verse of Scripture. And if the Lord was pleased to use that verse of Scripture, I think that gives us all authority to be able to consider what the Lord said concerning that passage of Scripture. Here's what he said in Matthew 15:4. "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. That was one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 was moved by God's Spirit to speak on that passage right there. And he said this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1, 2, 3. Children, now listen to me. I want you, all you children that your mom and daddy is here, or your mama or your daddy is here, you listen to what I'm saying. I'm talking to you and all of us adults. We can listen in on this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. Not if your parents tell you to do something that is contrary to God's word. You're not obligated to obey them doing something unlawful or immoral or something. But children, you are to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. And what is the promise? Now listen. That it may be well with you, with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, children, you listen to what your mom and dad says. And you parents, when you instruct your children, you instruct them in the Lord, what God has to say. This verse that the Lord quoted in Matthew 15. He quoted that in the midst of a conversation that he was having with some scribes and some Pharisees. A conversation that at first it may seem as though that it may have just a little significance for us today, but the principles of this conversation and what the principles are will be brought out here just a moment. These principles of this are needful to be brought out again because of the hypocrisy that we have in this world today, and in just man's thinking and man's ways and man's religion. It just that disrespect for what God has to say is totally disregarded today by the carnal man, by the carnal mind. We all have the propensity to just be like this, to disregard what God has to say. So let's see what was happening in this passage of Scripture. Scripture, Matthew 15, 1 and 2. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees who were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Now, scribes, they were the ones that wrote the scriptures. They were, you know, they all the scriptures back then, they were written by hand. They didn't have printing presses. They would write them. And the Pharisees, they saw themselves, they were the interpreters. You know, we'll interpret for you what it is. And this group of scribes and Pharisees, who the Lord called them in verse 7, actually hypocrites, what they were doing, they came from Jerusalem. They then came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. They came to where he was, and what they were going to do, they were going to be taking the Lord to task on something that they considered to be worthy of condemnation. They wanted to take the Lord's disciples to task over something, and what the disciples were doing, it wasn't something that they were found to be openly breaking God's law, or something, but they were chargeable as far as the scribes and Pharisees were concerned with something that they needed to straighten up. And here's what it was. They were transgressing the tradition of the elders, which was what? They didn't wash their hands before they ate bread. That was the issue. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they don't wash their hands. They were offended because the Lord's disciples did not observe some man-made rule. A rule that the Jews considered necessary to worship God. Now that was the issue. What they were saying is, the traditions of the elders, which was actually, in their opinion, the way that God's worshiped, was the whole rub right here. It was a rule that they observed totally out of tradition, just because some man said it, and the reason that a man said it originally was to be seen of men. Now the washing of hands. Now that was first mentioned. You hold your place right there in Matthew 15. Turn to Exodus 30. What they were doing is they actually got this tradition from, it started in the scriptures, which is where they normally, Neil, get their foundation for it. You know, they start with the scripture, but they rest. They twist the scriptures. They get them all bent out of shape, and they start taking what they've been out of shape to become the new rule, is what they're doing. So here's where the washing of the hands actually started. Look in Exodus chapter 30, verse 19 to 21. Okay, Exodus 30, 19. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. Now, first of all, who are Aaron and his sons? They're priests. They're priests. They're going to minister in the tabernacle. And what they're doing was this. It says, when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not, or when they come near to the altar to minister to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. Now, here's what was going on. The priests, they were pictures of Christ. Their ministry was a picture setting forth the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they went in and washed their hands and their feet, what that was picturing was the purity of Christ, the cleanness of Christ who ministers before God on behalf of his people. One who ever liveth to make intercession for his people, the one that came into this world and walked on this world, who knew no sin, who was never convinced of sin by anyone. No one ever proved him. The Father said of him, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. You hear him, I'm well pleased with him. The Lord said, I do only, always, those things that please the Father. So he never, in word or thought or deed, he never disobeyed. Pure, holy, harmless Lamb of God. And when the priests would go in, when they washed their hands, that was a ceremony. It was a picture, it was a type of the purity of Christ. Well, it just kind of went on down through time here, and then somebody one day decided, say, I'll tell you what, If you're going to really approach God, you need to be washing your hands. You know, if you don't wash your hands, then I'm telling you, you're not worshiping God. All they did was they took the truth of God's word and they distorted it. God never said that. They said that. What they were attempting to do was to add their traditions to the word of God. Let me ask you something. Where did invitations start? We're going to give an invitation. Show me in the scriptures where they ever gave an invitation. Show me in the scriptures where anybody ever walked an aisle. You know why we do that? Because that's what we've always done. Because somebody started that. Well, we need to come to the altar. Who started that? It's not in the scriptures. Christ is our altar. We come by faith to Him who is our altar. But we don't walk down here. I told you before, there ain't nothing down here. It's any different from where you are. I just happen to be standing here in this spot where I can see you and you can see me. Rededication. I'm going to come down on rededication. Basically, what you're saying is I've lost my salvation. I've lost my sanctification. I heard somebody make that statement. I'd never heard of that statement before. Now, rededication, yeah, I have. You know, eating meat on Friday was a mortal sin, wasn't it, Mark? Eating meat on Friday. Where'd that come from? And if you die with a mortal, that's a mortal sin. There's a difference in a mortal sin and a venial sin. A mortal sin is bad. If you die with a mortal sin on your soul, you know, you didn't go to confession and confess your sin to some man, and you died with a mortal sin, you're going to hell. Where is that in Scripture? If you die with a venial sin, I think you just go to purgatory for a while, don't you, Mark, I think. Where'd you get that? I'll tell you something that is truly, truly, I mean, this gets real touchy with people. Whenever we go out to eat, we all sit around, we'll go to a big restaurant or something. Sometimes we'll go out to eat and there may be 8, 10, 12, 15 of us out there. And we don't hold hands and make a big show of asking the blessing. Can't you ask the blessing in your heart? Oh, well, I think we ought to be a witness before men. The Scriptures says, when you pray, don't be like the Pharisees are. Don't be like the hypocrites are. Why? Because they love to stand on the corners and make a big show out of it, to be seen of men. And they've got their reward. Now, you know, don't you think that if the Lord said that, that right there ought to end it? Somebody said, well, I think we ought to. Well, don't drink, don't dance, and don't smoke, and stuff, and don't go to picture shows, don't go to with girls that do all that stuff. These traditions. Look at Colossians 2:20. I tell you what these traditions are. It's the attempt by man to override the Word of God. Colossians 2, verses 20 to 23. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments or the elements of the world, why? What he's saying is, if the world's material ways of doing things, you know, that if you've died with Christ, if you're a believer, then, you know, and you believe that the only kind of worship that you have is that external. So, you know, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, you don't go around trying to wear your religion on your shoulders and making a big show. I mean, God's people walk with consistency, but they don't override the Word of God to do tradition, that to make themselves worshipers of God. If you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to the ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. It just, what he's saying is, why, if you be dead with Christ, why are you trying to make the traditions of men? If you're going to do something, if you're going to find fault with something, you better make sure that you can find it in the Scriptures. Because if it's just traditions of men, and that's the beef, the Lord told them, he said, they came to him and they said, why are you, you know, why are you, your disciples, you're transgressing tradition? They don't wash their hands when they eat bread. Now, I probably wash my hands. I probably have a fetish about it, I'm sure. But I'll probably wash my hands 25 times a day. Why? I want to. Before I eat, I'm going to wash my hands. Why? Well, I don't want to pick up some germs or something. That's fine. But don't make it an issue of worship before God. If you want to wash your hands, if you don't want to wash your hands, that's fine. You don't have to. But don't make something an issue of worship when it's nothing more than a tradition. You know, the Lord told in Matthew 23:23, woe unto you scribes and you Pharisees, you hypocrites, you pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin. You've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy, faith. These things ought ye to have done and not left the other undone. They came to him and they said, why are your disciples? They're transgressing tradition. And the Lord, in verses 3 to 6, answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it's a gift, by whatsoever you mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now what was he saying? Right here, the Lord struck at the heart of man's attempt to add anything to God's perfect word as needful for salvation or true worship. That's what he's getting at. He said, you've made this thing an article of worship. And all it is, he said, it's a tradition that you're holding to. The believer's rule of faith and practice, now you listen to me, is the Word of God. The Word of God. And it doesn't matter how zealous or sincere a practice is. If it is not based on biblical authority, it's nothing but hypocrisy. That's what the Lord, he said, you hypocrites. God had commanded the fathers and mothers were to be honored. Those who could not provide for themselves were to be kept in the day of their need. My mama right now is in a rehabilitation place. Now I want to go over there. I want to help. I want to do what I can. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm commanded to do it. I'm commanded to do it. You honor your father and your mother. She can't do some stuff. Well, I better do what I can. God had commanded it, and they were to be respected as those deserving of respect. And these self-righteous religionists, when they were asking the question about transgressing the elders' tradition, the Lord took a passage of Scripture that God had set forth in His law, and He exposed them for their foolishness and their selfish observance of man-made rules. That's all they were doing. They were holding on to man and their refusal to obey what God had commanded. Now, what were they doing? Well, they were telling those who were commanded of God to provide for their poor parents. You see, you got somebody who got their parents, and they're poor, or they're helpless, or they're feeble, or whatever. And he said, you're holding to traditions. And God said, you honor your father and your mother. And he that curseth them, it doesn't give them the respect that is due, let him die the death. And he said, what you say? And here it is. He said, you're just going to traditions is all you're doing. You say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it's a gift. What do you mean? Well, they're saying, now look, these scribes and Pharisees were saying, if you got some money and you want to dedicate that to the Lord, Corban is what it is over Mark. It says, well, it's a gift. I've dedicated this money that I had set aside to take care of you. I've dedicated that to the Lord. And that's a gift. I've given that to the Lord. And I can't go back on that. That's the Lord. It's a gift. By whatsoever you might have been profited by me, what I had, I've given that to God. It amazes me how many times I have watched, and I just get mad when I do it. And Glenda will tell me, you know, she said, Marvin, why do you watch that? You're just going to get mad. And I said, I know. And I do. But if hucksters will stand on television and tell men, send your money to God and we'll give their address. The Lord says, what you're doing is you're telling people that the funds by which you might have taken care of your parents. He said, you're telling them, if y'all will give this money to the church, give this money to us. And see, they profited from that. They got the proceeds from that. How convenient. He said, if you give that to us, he said, it's a gift by what you would have been profited by, and you honor not your father and your mother, that you'll be free. What you're telling them is, if you give this as a gift to God, you're free from the commandment of God to honor your father and mother. That's what they were telling them. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You've superseded, or you're trying to supersede, God's word by a tradition. And then he told them in verses 7 to 9, you hypocrites, you're two-faced. You're hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The Holy Spirit moved upon Solomon to pen in verse 20, Proverbs 20:20, what God Almighty had said back in Exodus 31. Cursed is every man that doesn't honor his father and mother. You'll die the death. To curse your mom or dad, not take care of them, is disobedience and disrespect. And man, by nature, will make these great glowing announcements concerning his love and his devotion for God without a new heart for that devotion. Worship is of the heart. God's people want to hear what God has to say. And any time that anybody tries to supersede by tradition what God has to say, the Lord has revealed them to be hypocritical. May the Lord cause us this day to hear what the Lord has to say, what God has to say, and where the heart has been made tender to the hearing of God's word. One that is truly a heart to obey God. I tell you what you'll do. You won't have to tell a man to love his wife. He'll love her. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit or adapt yourself to your husband. The husband's ahead of the wife. I know what the world has to say. I understand all that. But listen, this is the rule. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. I know what you know. Parents, if your children disobey, spank them. I know what the world says. But I'm telling you, holding to the traditions of men and despising what God has to say, God's going to deal with us on it. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts and cause us to look to Him. What does He have to say? For Christ's sake, amen.